Happy fourth Sunday of Advent. Happy December 23rd. The waiting is almost over. Christmas is almost here. So how is that waiting going? Have you been waiting? How have you been waiting? And for what have you been waiting? Are we waiting in anticipation or in dread? Some were waiting for the world to end on Friday, December 21st, 2012, as predicted by the ancient Mayans. Thankfully, that prediction did not come to fruition. We're still here, and there is still hope. That's a large part of this waiting and preparation. Advent is not a time of waiting in dread and doom. No matter how dark the days are, no matter how bleak the world may seem, Advent is a time of preparation and anticipation, a time of hopeful waiting. Over the last week, many have been waiting to hear the response of the National Rifle Association to the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. They blame mental illness, violent games, and music. Others blame loose gun control laws. There is truth in each position. Still, everyone seems to be waiting for someone else to do something. And while this may be a form of hopeful waiting, hoping that someone else will do something, I don't believe that passively waiting for someone else to do something echoes the words of the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. That voice calls for us to prepare, to make straight the path. That voice calls us into active waiting, not passive waiting. The words that we hear over and over during this season are prepare, wait, and expect. Those three words are intertwined. They're not to be taken separately, nor compartmentalized individually, but all three fit together to form the whole of the Advent season. They're the trinity of Advent of sorts, three words inseparable in this season. Prepare, wait, and expect. You cannot wait nor expect if you do not prepare. And there is nothing for which to prepare if we do not expect. And expectation is the anticipation of something that is not yet, has not yet arrived. And that requires waiting. The other word we hear so often this time of year is believe. Believe is most often associated with Santa Claus, but it's also wrapped up with expectations. If you do not believe, then you do not expect. If you do not believe in Santa Claus, then you do not expect him to come bringing gifts. If you do not believe in God, then you do not expect him to come into our world once again. If you do not believe that your actions make a difference, then there is no reason to be involved in the workings of the world. From that position, it's very easy to move to despair and doom and away from hopeful expectation. For what do we hope? For what do we prepare, wait, and expect? The world didn't end on Friday. Now what? There are no clear answers on how to prevent more violence in our world. Now what? Our government is teetering on the edge of a fiscal cliff. Now what? What do we expect? Gloom and doom? Horrors and calamities? If we sit back on our laurels and expect someone else to be the light of the world, we might have little expectation, little hope. Mary was with child. She was expecting in the literal sense of the word, but she was also expecting the same way we are, expecting change, expecting something different, expecting that the change that would come would shape the world's norms and turn everything on its ear. She also knew that she had a part in this evolving expectation. She was very much involved. Without her active involvement in God's work, the hopeful expectation would not come to be. Elizabeth, too, was expecting a miraculous birth. Even the baby in her womb was active. He leapt with joy. Each was expectant. Each was preparing for new life, new birth, a new world. And each had a role to play. This was not passive expectation. This was preparing, waiting, and expecting. What is it that we expect as we near the birth of the Christ child? Listen to the words of the expectant Mother Mary again for an idea of what we who sit here might expect as well. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud of the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. That is our hope. That is our expectation. That is what we prepare for, and is that to which we wait. So how is it that we prepare and wait for the fulfillment of our expectation? Our collect gives us some guidance on that. We pray that God purify our conscience. That's a good start, a pure conscience. An evaluation of self? Are we those who are hungry for good things? Or are we the rich that will be sent away empty? Are we hungry for the good news of Christ? Or are we smug in our own abilities? Are we the proud and powerful who will be brought down? Or are we the meek and lowly who will be lifted up? Purify our conscience, Almighty God, so that we too may wait for your return with hopeful expectation and not with fear and dread. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, so that we too may sing the song of the expectant Mother Mary. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, so that we may be prepared as we wait in expectation of your return in our world. And so that we may be your light in the world, that we might spread your good news in the world.